Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Private Officer Beat on this Monday morning. Yep, another wet, rainy, cold, icy, sunny, foggy, just another day wherever you might be in this country or in other countries. But we want to thank you for being with us on this morning's edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio. As always, we've got a lot to talk about and a lot of news to share with you as well. We've got a number of upcoming events and things happening. We want to make sure that you get informed on that. And we've got a couple of new segments coming up from now on in our radio programs, and we want you to be part of it as well. Now, for those of you who are subscribers to our newsletters, you may have seen recently where we put out a survey for you to be able to chime in and tell us what you like about our newsletters, our radio shows, our website, social media, and so forth. If you haven't received that, you can simply send us an email, helpdeskprivateofficer.com, and you can tell us what you like about the radio program, what you'd like to see change, what you like about the newsletter, social media, websites, whatever. Tell us what you think about Private Officer. We're inviting your criticism and your comments, good, bad, ugly, or indifferent. But we'd like to hear from you wherever you are, and we're sure going to take them to heart, and we'll be checking them out and trying to decide how we can make our overall offerings better, how we can really produce a better quality radio show, newsletter, and provide additional services and resources to our members and non-members alike. I'm your host this morning, Rick McCann, founder and CEO of Private Officer International, a security and law enforcement association, as you probably know if you're a member or a listener, and also the president and CEO of Armor College, a public safety workforce college. And we have been very, very busy these last few months, and hopefully right through the rest of 2018. We'll be telling you that more about that coming up in this edition of the Private Officer Beat. We want to thank our sponsor, as always, Body Armor USA. Hey, if you haven't checked out their website and you need some body armor, you need some protective clothing, some special gloves to protect you from being stabbed, or, you know, maybe you're frisking somebody and you don't want to get popped with a needle, check out Body Armor USA. They've got exactly what you need to protect you. And we all want to go home at the end of our shift. We all want to go with the same five fingers on each hand. We all want to go home without being injured or seriously wounded. So, hey, check out their website today, Body Armor USA, or give our friends over there a call. They'll give you a discount if you just tell them that you're a Private Officer member. Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you. We also want to encourage you, if you are a business owner, you work for a company in the marketing and advertising business, be sure to contact us. We've got the best marketing plans and prices around. We can get your products and service in front of the right people. We have thousands of people every day on our websites, our social media, our news blogs, our radio shows. You know, almost 15 years, folks, of doing this, we have collected a lot of following, a lot of folks in the public safety, law enforcement, security, regulatory, PI, bail enforcement, bail bonds, you know, all sorts of fields that has to do with public safety. They're part of our following, our groupies, if you will. They're following us, and they're your buyers. They are your target market. So contact us, 704-831-8109, Monday through Thursday. If you're interested in marketing, we have a complete marketing plan. One low, low price will get you marketing on all of our platforms, no additional cost. We'll also send personalized letters out to our thousands of followers and subscribers and members introducing your service, your product, your company. Now that right there is worth, well, a lot more than we're going to charge you, but it's worth a lot of money because we're going to give you direct introduction to these users of your service and product. We're also on our brand new website, privateofficer.org, starting an area for folks like you that will be able to not only market your service or product, but you'll be able to tell us more about your service and product. So stay tuned to that. But if you're interested in getting your name out there, your company name, your service, your product, the thing that you make, contact us, helpdesk@privateofficer.com, or give us a call Monday through Thursday, 704-831-8109. You won't be disappointed. Well, as you know, we are in the middle, or maybe the beginning. We're kind of in the beginning, I guess, of the Winter Olympics 2018. For better or worse, we just in the last 24 hours have had some contact with security personnel who are at the Winter Olympics. They say that there's been a number of problems that they've run into, some areas not secured, some areas not properly put together for security. There's also been, just before the Olympics started, a day or so before, there's been 1,200 security members that included both private security and law enforcement that had to be sent home, relieved of their duties because of the norovirus. That is a stomach virus often caught on cruise ships and often where large amounts of people are all together and participating in food and so forth. And often it's brought upon by unclean hands, human waste, being cross-contaminated into food, things like that. So it is easily caught through food, also other methods of transmission. And so anyways, these 1,200 people had to leave their security post before the Olympics ever started and head back home sick, and they had to be replaced. So there's always, anytime there's an Olympics or a major game of some sort, there's always going to be, you know, situations like this that's going to happen, things that may or may not be preventable, we don't know, but it's just kind of part of what happens. Just like, you know, Super Bowl games, this past Super Bowl game, there was a number of hiccups behind the scenes and security of the event, but the game went on, everyone was safe, there was minimal arrest made, a couple of minor incidents. All was good. Could have been quite worse, of course. We could have been attacked by, you know, people who want to do harm to us. We could have had terrorism. We could have had lone wolf attacks. We could have had a whole lot of things happen. But thankfully, there were a lot of levels, a lot of layers of security there at the Super Bowl, as there is at the Olympics right now. And so everything kind of went smoothly. We had a lot of federal law enforcement, state law enforcement. The city of Minneapolis is really not a big city. People think of Minneapolis, St. Paul as a huge, you know, metroplex. And yeah, it combined, it's a fairly large area, but Minneapolis, they only have about 850 police officers, so they obviously couldn't protect everyone at the Super Bowl by themselves. So they did have to get a lot of different layers of federal, state, local law enforcement. They even brought in the National Guard that was there, and as is often the case, there were many others on standby nearby, staged in riot gear. It's just a common practice these days. Any type of event like that, you have to plan for civil unrest. You have to plan for terrorism. You have to plan for attacks. People wanting to disrupt the games. Of course, there's always protesters of one type or the other outside the arena, outside of where the event is happening, and we have to plan for those knuckleheads as well, because they're just there to cause trouble. They're just there to really disturb what's going on. They really don't have any other purpose but to make a disturbance. Now, you know, we see this time and time again at large events, sporting events, and so they do have to plan for a multitude of different scenarios happening: protest, terrorism, civil unrest, so on and so forth. While we're speaking about the civil unrest, I'm sure that most of you know that in Philadelphia, the night of the Super Bowl, they really wreaked havoc in the city. The police was somewhat semi-prepared for it. They had a large contingency of law enforcement. They had riot-geared police ready. But for whatever purpose, whatever reason, they only made minimal arrests. They didn't storm into the active area where cars were being overturned, windows were being smashed. I even saw where a hotel canopy collapsed with the weight, under the weight of many people up there dancing around. There was a lot of chaos, catastrophe, mayhem, and riotous type of activity, but police kind of laid back and didn't really come in and show their strength the way that they should have. And there's a lot of debate about why they did that. Many people are not happy. The citizens of Philadelphia, the business owners downtown, definitely not happy. I've seen it myself in Nashville, Tennessee. I've seen it in Charlotte, North Carolina. I've seen it in other cities, the same thing happening. You're prepared, or you hope that you're prepared for what might happen, but then the crowds overwhelm law enforcement. They overwhelm police, and they're unable to effectively control that whole situation. So rather than go in unprepared and be the victims themselves and make things worse, they monitor it. They try to make sure that there's no one being seriously injured or killed. They try to make sure that it's just property damage for the most part, and they control it that way. Very unfortunate. We see that frequently with college games. We see it with the national, World Series. We see it with sporting events. We see it with all sorts of, situations. But to be frank with you and to be serious with you, I mean, you have to stop and ask yourself, no matter how excited you are about who won what, no matter how excited you are about the situation, is it really good common sense to go and destroy people's property as a form of celebration? Is it really a good common sense practice for the average person to go hurt other people and to cause that type of chaos and mayhem and set things on fire. For me, maybe it's just because I'm an old guy now. I never was that way anyways, but maybe it's because of my age that I think it's ludicrous and senseless. It poses a great public safety risk, and I think they should all be brought to justice. And I think that as we saw a year ago or so in Charlotte, North Carolina, when we had protests here, police wasn't quite prepared to handle it the first couple of nights. But then they geared up, staffed up, they got enough people in where they not only handled it, but they started making some heavy-duty arrests. And through their investigations department, they actually was able to identify about 100 of the protesters who caused property damage later on down the road, and they went out and made arrests of those people, which I think is the right thing to do. So a lot of things happening. If you're following Donald Trump's chaotic tweets and all of the situations happening with him, you know there's a lot of chaos in the country right now because of political things happening. Look around you. We are in the times right now when this country needs some serious security, some serious law enforcement, and we need to be proactive and ready. Ready for anything, just like back in the 60s when, you know, we had Black Panthers and other groups that blew up post offices, police departments, police vehicles. And I think that, we're at that point now, of course, and we just need to be prepared. And I think private security and law enforcement, you got to get your things together. You got to start working together better. You have to start preparing because victory is in the numbers. Victory is in the numbers. Law enforcement can only do so much. There's only so many cops. Security can only do so much. There's only so many security. Together, combine forces, just like they did at the Super Bowl, there's victory in those numbers. Before we go to our first break, very sad news. This past 5 days, 8 police officers have been killed in the line of duty. The latest one was a tribal police officer yesterday, and of course, 2 Westerville, Ohio police officers gunned down when answering what most people and even many cops say is a routine call, 911 hang up. I tell people, I tell my officers, I tell my students, we write and talk about it in our training all the time. There is no such thing as a routine call. There is no such thing as a routine traffic stop. There is no such thing as a routine citizen contact because you never know. You never know what's going to happen, what the intent of those persons are. You just don't know what's in front of you until you can identify all of the players and all of the situation. Unfortunately, in Westerville, Ohio, just outside of Columbus, 2 police officers answering 911 hang up were ambushed by a person and shot to death. Just hours before that, outside of Atlanta, Georgia, in Henry County, a city police officer responding to assist a couple of deputies serving an arrest warrant is shot to death while trying to take the suspect into custody. He opened fire. He shot several deputies and killed the police officer. We've had a reserve police officer die in a fiery crash on the way to training, and we've had several other officers die in the past 5 days. It is a very tragic to see fallen officers one after the other, whether they be public law enforcement or private security. I don't want to jinx our security industry by saying that, you know, things have been a little slow and the security end of it. We've had a couple of deaths this month so far, but overall, it's been kind of a slow start to the year, thank goodness. And hopefully, it will continue on that trend. But as you probably know, if you keep track of the statistics through Private Officer International, law enforcement and security injuries and deaths have skyrocketed, literally, in the last couple of years. As more and more people become violent over little things, more and more people become non-compliant, won't listen. They're ready to fight the police. They're ready to fight security. And unfortunately, I don't see that changing anytime soon. We are living right now in this day and age in a changing time in the world of policing and security, and we're seeing many police chiefs and many police chiefs and sheriffs leaving their jobs because of it, retiring early or choosing not to run for office again, and that's unfortunate. A different world. Are you prepared? Today in our training segment later on in the third part of our program, we're going to be talking about escalation and de-escalation. I know you've had it. If you've been in this business for any length of time, you've had one form or the other. But today we're going to look at it a little different. We're going to address it a little bit different. We're going to start in segment one, part one this week, with escalation. What is it and how to avoid escalating things? And then next week in part two, we're going to talk about conflict resolution and de-escalation. Stay with me as we are going to our first break. We're coming right back, and when we do, we'll be talking a little bit more about the news and, of course, some upcoming events. And we also want to recognize a couple of people with their birthdays and awards. We'll be right back.
Slow down.
Slow down and move over.
And move over.
When you see lights,
masks,
I'll be flaggers.
Please, give us some room. Slow down and move over.
When you need us,
we've got your back.
You have ours.
You got our back?
You got ours? You got our back? Please, slow down.
And move over.
HirePatriots.com is a free website where you can help our active, reserve, veteran military and their families by letting them help you. Do you have a chore that needs doing around your home or yard? Is your company looking for a new hire? Then post your jobs for free at HirePatriots.com. Visit HirePatriots.com and post your jobs today. HirePatriots.com.
We are back with you on this Monday on the Private Officer Beat. Glad that you are hanging in there with us. We have a lot of things that we want to talk about. You know what I find? I find that the more that we are doing here at POI and Armor, the more stuff that we're involved in, the less time that I have to tell you about it all on the radio. We can't just fit it in like we used to. It's just like, I don't know. We just don't have the time. But we do have a lot of things to share with you. We want to make sure that you're aware that we have a great social media following. Join us on Facebook. Every day we share the news. We talk about the situations. We have great conversations often. And be sure to be part of that. And, of course, follow us on Twitter. All that you have to go do is go to our main website, privateofficer.org, and follow us right there. That way you don't have to go to all these other social media platforms, if you know what I mean. But Facebook and Twitter, they're our main leading social media platforms. You can also, of course, follow our news right there, and you can check us out on some of the other social media platforms that we are part of, although Facebook and Twitter is, I think, the primary. We have a lot of things happening. Be sure that you participate. We have openings right now on our advisory board committee. If you'd like to be an advisory board committee member, please send us an email, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. You do have to be a POI member. We're also looking for committee members for the awards committee and also for general miscellaneous service committee. Just that committee gets involved in all sorts of things. Send us your email at helpdeskprivateofficer.com. helpdeskprivateofficer.com. A lot of things in the news, and we often don't have the time on the radio program to share everything with you, of course, but we do want to share some of the content that's been happening over the last few days. Like I just mentioned, the 8 police officers killed in just 5 days. Unbelievable. And hopefully that will slow down. Police in Terrebonne Parish, Louisiana, say they've arrested 3 men. Robert Lee Johnson was the last one taken into custody. Jamal Anthony Sims also taken into custody. These men robbed a casino in Terrebonne Parish and assaulted the security officer. In fact, they struck him several times in the head while they were robbing the casino, and they've been taken into custody. Police say that they've made an arrest. This was a situation where security was involved in a chase of a shoplifter. He pulled out a gun. This happened in Tampa, and they have taken the suspect in custody. Also this week, a security company owner in Jupiter, Florida, found out that he was a victim of crime. Although he lived in a quiet seaside community, gated community, he and his daughter was a victim of a burglary to their vehicles, even though they had cameras around their home. There really is no safe place. Gated communities are not really that safe. All they do is prevent the vehicle from entering. In Buffalo, New York, police there say Riverside High School has been arrested. A Riverside High School student, not the high school, was arrested this week after a teacher and a security officer was injured breaking up a fight. Police say that the 16-year-old was fighting with another student in the cafeteria when he allegedly assaulted both the security officer as well as a teacher, and he's been taken into custody and charged with third-degree assault, harassment, and several other charges. You know, as a juvenile, he'll probably won't face anything serious, but we are seeing a lot more of these assaults occurring in the schools. Maybe that's why there's an article last week from Barbados saying that the government is considering some drastic changes of security officers stationed at the schools because they refuse to break up fights among students. They say it's not part of their job description. And so no matter what type of fight is happening, they don't get involved. And now the government is considering making some changes that make it mandatory that security officers get involved in those type of situations. Baldwin Park, California, a 66-year-old man with a walker stabbed a grocery store security officer who refused, after the store refused to sell him alcohol, and the security officer tried to escort him out of the store. The senior citizen was arrested and charged with aggravated assault at the Vallarta supermarket in Baldwin Park. Again, it really does show you that no matter the age of the person, whether they are, you know, 15 or 75, they are capable of not only assaulting, but injuring or even killing you. And that's why you have to approach every person, every time, like they have the intent to harm you until you know otherwise. Ocala, Florida, Kmart Loss Prevention nabbed an employee for stealing $6,000 from the store. Amber Martin, 39, of Ocala, Florida, said that she was a single mother just trying to take care of her kids. Now, that's not quite the way that you do it, folks. She's been released on a $5,000 bond pending her court. Two Madison, Wisconsin security officers were assaulted and injured Thursday morning when they tried to escort a disorderly trespassing person off from the property. One security officer obtained a concussion. David Harris, 35, of Stanley, Wisconsin, has been charged with battery, disorderly conduct, unlawful trespass, resisting, obstructing. Now, it just so happened that this incident, which occurred at the Crown Plaza Hotel on Washington Avenue, was under guard, under contract, by one of our longtime POI members who owns a security company. He said that the suspect told police that they were lucky he didn't get a hold of their guns because it would have been worse. Both security officers are okay, and the suspect is still in jail. A shoplifter in Macomb, Mississippi, has been arrested after pulling a gun on loss prevention at Walmart during a shoplifting incident. Police say that he put several items into a backpack, and as he was attempting to flee, loss prevention agents stopped him. He pulled the gun from his waistband, pointed it at the agents, and fled, but police were able to catch up with him and place him into custody. Last week in Indio, California, a Brinks armored truck security officer unfortunately was involved in a shootout with a robbery suspect that tried to rob him. Two men jumped out of their vehicle and tried to rob the Brinks armored car while they were working on an ATM at the Wells Fargo at Highway 111 and Monroe Street there in Indio. They fled during the shootout. Now, one of the robbery suspects actually committed suicide, and the second one was taken into custody by police. A man who accidentally shot himself in the parking lot of a Kentucky mall has been arrested. Paducah police say that Brent W. Dixon, 35, of Paducah, was found with a gunshot wound in his leg. But when police conducted a computer check, it showed that he had outstanding arrest warrants and that he was a felon and could not have firearms. So, all around bad day for Mr. Dixon. Police took him to the hospital and then took him to jail. Sacramento Board of Supervisors, they passed a brand new law. It says that all city hotels and motels must equip all of their employees with panic buttons. These panic buttons will help keep them safe when they're working on the property, and also for the hotel maids to help prevent any type of sexual attack. That's a good idea. Probably need that in other places as well. A security officer in Phoenix, Arizona, shot and killed a man during a confrontation at a Jack in the Box restaurant Wednesday night, 35th Avenue and Buckeye Road. The security officer said that he asked the man numerous times to leave the property. The man began to threaten him. He said at some point the security officer pulled his firearm while backing away from the man. The man allegedly charged him and the security officer fired his weapon. The man, identified as a 64-year-old male, did die at the scene. Now, right now, this security officer is under investigation by police and the county attorney. There is a good likelihood he will be charged. We'll see. We're waiting to hear back from the public information officer. We are in contact with the county attorney's office. We're going to track this and see what happens. In Key West, Florida, a bouncer there has been arrested after he knocked an unruly bar patron to the ground, where he struck his head and was knocked unconscious and now has a head bleed. Brett Lamar Howard Jr. was airlifted to Ryder Trauma Center in Miami with a brain bleed, and Nathan Daniel Rogers, 31, has been arrested for felony battery in this incident. It doesn't say that the man attacked him. It just says he was unruly. And again, you know, when you're looking at news articles, sometimes they are not very in-depth, and sometimes they don't give all the details. As it's written right there, the bouncer may or may not have had justification in defending himself. We'll see. Again, another case we'll have to watch. There's a lot more news on our website. Go to privateofficer.org and join our newsletter and news alert. And, of course, follow our news blog every day for up-to-the-moment news. Thankfully, our news staff does a heck of a job 24/7, even during the holidays, tracking the news as well as writing news articles. So be sure to check them out today. We want to say a very happy birthday. And before we do that, be sure to send us your birthdays, your promotion announcements. If you've received any awards, be sure to send those to helpdesk@privateofficer.com. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We want to say happy birthday to Scott Valero, 35, an 8-year security officer, and we want to say happy birthday to Nancy Priscello, and there's no H there, so happy birthday to them. We also want to recognize Ken Howard for receiving an award from his company for life-saving, for helping someone who was having a heart attack, and through CPR and use of the AED, he was able to save a life. So congratulations to all of you, and be sure to send us your awards, your news items, promotions. We want to make sure that we recognize those who deserve that recognition. If you're a supervisor or a company owner, all that you have to do, take a couple of seconds, send an email, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We have some upcoming events that we want to tell you about. We're going to be training. We have a 2- and 3-day training seminars coming to Atlanta, Georgia, Nashville, Tennessee, Des Moines, Iowa, Colorado, and several other places. We'll be making more announcements on the dates and time. This year, we're going to try to do at least 6 events across the country at a bare-bone pricing structure. We want to make sure that everyone who needs the training can afford to get it, regardless of your position or how much you make. So be sure to be checking that out. We'll be announcing more in the upcoming weeks. We're going to take one more break. When we come back, we are going to be talking about de-escalation. But first, in order to de-escalate a situation, you need to understand what escalation is and what causes escalation and what happens and all those good things. So we'll share that with you when we come back in 2 minutes or so. Don't go away. You're listening to the Private Officer Beat Radio.
Doing drugs is like being on top of the world. Everyone says so. Everyone seems to be having one dandy old time. Hey, it's part of growing up. Or is it? Just think about this. Before you go and do something you've never done before, you just better know what you're jumping into.
Okay, we're going to talk a little bit today in the training segment about de-escalation, conflict resolution. You know, a lot of people, probably yourself included, have gone through some type of de-escalation technique, verbal judo, some type of training over the years, especially if you've been in the public safety, security, or law enforcement arena for any time. However, things do change, and with the increase of use of force, both lethal and less lethal, many agencies, many companies, many employers have gone back to look at what type of de-escalation training are we giving our staff, our officers? Is it enough? Has it been revised? And really, they're asking that officers spend more time trying to de-escalate when possible. While that all sounds good, maybe it looks good on paper, in reality, in the field, it doesn't always work out that way. However, let's talk a little bit about escalation. In order to de-escalate someone or something, you really have to know the true definition and the insight of what escalation really is. So let's talk about escalation first. Now, escalation is an increase in the number of and the size of the issue being debated. In other words, it may start off small and through the conversation as more and more comes forward, more information, the issue begins to grow. So what began as a one-item issue that's being debated now is multiple items being kicked in there, thrown in there. It's an increase also in hostility. We've all seen somebody start yelling and getting upset over a certain situation, and in a very short time, they have worked themselves up way out of control. So hostility, it's also an increase in tension. Because the more that this plays out, the more the officer and the person involved becomes tensed on this. It can also develop into a competitive behavior where the person who is out of control begins to say things competitively, like, yeah, you couldn't do this, and I could probably beat you in that. I know I could beat your butt. I know I could do this. I could do that better than you. And oftentimes, in escalation situations, people bring their personalities into conflict, even law enforcement and security, and they need to keep those things out of the conversation. Some of the causes of escalation we have seen over the years, both the person involved and the officer involved sometimes engage in a power struggle. The officer says, don't go there. Oh yeah, I'm gonna go over there. I'm gonna walk over there. You can't stop me from freedom of movement. Sometimes one or both doesn't attend to the person's body language and doesn't pay attention to what's happening, and we can't really decipher the movements, the body movement, or the body language, and sometimes that's not good for officer safety, and sometimes it's not good because maybe the person's relaxing and their body's relaxing, but we don't realize it, we don't pick up on it, and we continue trying to de-escalate and trying to talk the person down. Sometimes we can overreact to that person's threats, to that person's posturing, to their emotional outbursts and displays, their verbal assaults, and that's not good either. We're there to de-escalate, so if we overreact to what they're saying, then that's a problem. Just this past weekend, I saw a video of NYPD in a traffic stop, and the driver, an African-American, was telling the white police officers how they were just picking on him because of his race and this and that. He was driving a nice vehicle. But then he escalated his ranting and raving to threatening to harm the officer's family, the officer, and at that point, instead of trying to de-escalate that suspect, that subject, police pulled him out of a vehicle, and during a confrontation, they tased him, took him to the ground, and handcuffed him. The police captain on the video said that was because of a terroristic type threat, that he was threatening bodily harm to the officer, and officers didn't know if he had a weapon in the vehicle, and they wanted to detain and get him into custody as quickly as possible. So I can see that move. Sometimes we put our own issue into the situation while we're trying to de-escalate something. Sometimes issues that we're having at home, with family, with a job, with other things, we engage that person with our own issues and sometimes our own problem. Other causes of escalation can be that the person may not feel like he's being heard, that you're not paying attention, you're not looking him in the face, you don't understand how he feels or she feels. Sometimes they feel threatened by your posturing or position or stance. Officer safety stance, usually when you're addressing somebody considered to be a suspect, you're going to be bladed, standing on an angle so that you can protect yourself. And sometimes we can push that person and escalate the situation further, not so much by what we say, but sometimes what we don't say and what we do, what our body is telling that person. There's a lot of things that play into escalation problems. When you're dealing with somebody in a situation, whether that be an irate customer, a person who has violated the law that you're trying to either get into custody or talk with, or you've responded to a domestic or whatever it might be, there's a lot of different causes to escalation. Sometimes it's fear. Sometimes it's pride. They're not going to let no man tell them what they're going to do, what they can and can't do, where they can and can't go. Sometimes it's the tone of a voice. Sometimes our facial expressions can escalate that situation. Sometimes the person who is really going off the chain and getting loud and aggressive could be under the influence of drugs or alcohol. In this day and time, we find many people taking illicit drugs. Many times we're dealing with people who are under the influence of alcohol and narcotics, and so these are obviously causes for escalation. Sometimes we're not giving that person enough personal space. Sometimes we need to back up a little bit and let them feel like they've got room to move and that we're not there to jump on them. There's a lot of different reasons why things escalate beyond what they should. There are some early warning signs when a person is going to be escalating, and it's going to tell you ahead of time to be careful and make sure that you are aware of your surrounding and situation. Some of those early warning signs include a change in mood and a level of anxiety. Sometimes you'll find them pacing back and forth, back and forth. They won't stand still. They won't look you in your eye. They're always moving. Sometimes they're moving toward you. Sometimes they're moving away. Sometimes they're just traveling, and you're telling them, hey, hey, why don't you sit down? Why don't you stand still? Why don't you sit over here? Why don't you stand against the car? But they're moving, moving, moving. That often is an indicator that they're going to run or that they're going to attack. So be very conscious of that. Be very aware. Changes in their baseline behavior. In EMS, when we arrive on the scene, we get baseline readings of the person. We check their pulse. We check their heartbeat, their respirations. We're checking basics. We're setting up a baseline. That way, if something changes while we're treating them, suddenly their heart begins to race, or they don't take in as much oxygen as they were, we know that the baseline is off. Same thing here. You'll see changes in their baseline behavior, the way that they were behaving. Either suddenly they get extremely agitated, violent, or they become very silent because now they're thinking and planning in their head about either escaping or attacking. Be aware of their eyes. Be watchful. Scan. Make sure that you are assessing all of these behaviors. It's a lot to take in. Imminent danger signs often include the face becomes pale or flush, their lips tighten over their teeth. Sometimes their eyebrows will drop to cover and protect their eyes. They break their stare, and then they look at intended target, you. They look directly all of a sudden. We can also oftentimes see that their breathing becomes rapid and deep. They're clenching their fist. Their stance goes from a square to a bladed. Their body movement may stop, or they're rocking on their heel to toe. And often they will lower their entire body down like a cougar, like a cat, to lunge at you, to be able to sprint and jump. We have to take all of these things into consideration. The goal of de-escalation really is to build just rapid rapport with that person and get a sense of being connected with that agitated person in order to reduce that likelihood of further escalation from verbal to physical violence. This sense of connectiveness has to be quickly established through the specific use of verbal, psychological, and nonverbal techniques that emphasize controlling one's own emotional response to that threat while guiding the communication. You see, we're talking with them and we're letting them talk, but we're really guiding how that whole communication is going. And it takes practice, it takes experience, it doesn't happen overnight. We need to practice it and become proficient in being able to direct communication and to direct that person to the place that we want them to go. There's a lot of information when it comes to learning about de-escalation techniques or conflict resolution. But understanding the signs of escalation and what causes escalation is where it all begins. De-escalation comes with verbal and nonverbal behavior and strategies that we've developed to kind of guide this whole communication process, this whole event. de-escalation techniques means that we're resolving this crisis now, right here, once and for all, without the use of any force. In part two, we're going to talk further about de-escalation, about controlling the subject and the event, about awareness and assessment, and further de-escalation techniques. That's going to conclude this week's Private Officer Beat radio show, but next week we're going to wrap up part two of understanding escalation and becoming masters of de-escalation communication and techniques. Until we meet again, be blessed, be safe, and we'll see you here on the radio.